right, I want to welcome you to Parenting This Week. This is the first podcast that we're doing. This is a father and son podcast, as well as an expert and a son podcast. I'm the son. My name is Josh Taransky, and via of the internet, we have Scott Taransky. Are you there, Scott?
I'm there. I wouldn't exactly say I'm an expert, but I appreciate that, son.
Well, you're an expert to me, and we're kind of starting right in here to this podcast. This is the first time we've done this. We're hoping that this is a blessing for parents and for churches and for ministry workers. And today we're going to be talking in a little bit about parenting an ADHD child, but we're going to cover some more than that. Hopefully on a weekly basis, we can look at issues in the news regarding parents and give you a window into some of the conversations that we have as from a parent to a son. Let me give you an introduction to who I am. My name is Josh Taransky. I'm 27 years old. I'm the oldest of five kids. I am the director of a Bible college on the island of Kauai. I've been out here for 2 years, and before that, I was working at a Bible college in Southern California. And my dad has been my dad for 27 years, and he is a speaker on the subject of parenting. He's written books on parenting. I'm going to ask him to share about those in just a second. And but he's also been a pastor and a Christian and a great influence on my life and a terrific dad. And so one of the great things that we have is that we have a great relationship, and we want to give you a window into that and have a conversation about parenting and make that available to you out there. If you're interested in his ministry, his website is www.biblicalparenting.org. That's www.biblicalparenting.org. Dad, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your ministry and a little bio on yourself, as well as the context of how you got into this whole thing on parenting.
Sure. My wife, your mom, Carrie, and I have been married for over 30 years. When Josh was just about 1 year old, we started teaching parenting seminars because at that point I was directing a preschool, saw the need, started working with some other professionals in the community to teach parenting seminars, and we did it as an outreach to the community to try to share Christ with people. It worked really well, and I've been studying parenting ever since. I met Joanne and Ed Miller in the early 90s and started working with Joanne Miller, and we've written 5 books on parenting. She's a registered nurse, and so together we teach parenting seminars around the country and have enjoyed doing that. So we're continually looking for biblical strategies for helping parents. So we wrote the book Parenting is Hard Work, for example, and we did a biblical study of the heart that has 750 times the word heart is used in the Bible. And we asked the question, what does God say the heart is? And we made several observations. It's a place where convictions are, where desires are. It's a place where we feel emotional connectedness to other people. It's a place where we feel emotions themselves. And then we asked the question, so how can we help parents work with their children on a heart level? That has led us into some exciting conclusions, and that's what we're doing now, sharing parenting seminars around the country, writing more material, and just trying to encourage parents as they're doing the difficult work of working with their children.
And you live on the East Coast, so we actually have a six-hour difference between the two of us. What are some of the other the books that you've written other than Parenting is Hard Work?
Parenting is Hard Work is the latest book that we've written. We wrote the book Say Goodbye to Whining, Complaining, and Bad Attitudes in You and Your Kids, which is a biblical study of the concept of honor. And we wrote the book Family Heart Moments, which took a lot of the ideas that stories that parents were sending us. We put those into a book and tied them around with some teaching to help parents understand how they can create and take advantage of heart moments with their children. We wrote the book Good and Angry, Exchanging Frustration for Character in You and Your Kids, which is a study of anger in parents and how to develop character in children. And then we wrote the book Home Improvement, the parenting book you can read to your kids. It's a creative book that has stories in the beginning of every chapter so that children can get the perspective of the parenting problem from the parent's viewpoint, just another creative way to help children make some changes in family life.
Good. Are those books targeted towards different age groups? Like, are there some that are better for preteens and some that are better for teenagers?
Well, not really. We tried to make each one of the books include helpful information for parents of ages 2 through 18.
I've been really blessed by a lot of the stuff that you've written, especially this latest book on parenting is heart work. It's really a great Bible study on working with kids in their hearts. The interesting thing is I've taken that book and a lot of the principles that are found in there, I've used with my staff and encouraged my staff to take the principles on helping kids change their hearts and providing a context for heart change, and encourage my staff at the Bible College to use that material in working with college students, because I don't have any other curriculum out there that's like that.
Yeah, what happens in our parenting seminars is that sometimes men will come up and say, "This is great. I'm going to use this tomorrow when I go to work with the employees. This is exactly what I needed." So I agree. I just think that the relational principles that we're teaching come from God's word, and then they apply across the spectrum, not only to children, but to everyone.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's interesting. I was looking on the internet this week, and there was this one study that came up, and it says that it was a survey, and it says that parents rely on personal experience over biblical guidance. And if you go on in the story, it says 6 out of 10 people would rather rely on their own personal experience rather than receive outside help, which is interesting. I don't know exactly how to respond to that. Either people are prideful, or 6 out of 10 people have perfect kids, or you have people that are really humble that are accessing your material. But it's an interesting ministry to be in. What kind of response are you getting from people as you're speaking around the U.S.
Well,
or
it's really
speaking around?
interesting because we're finding that more and more parents are saying, "I need help. The way I was raised or the things I've learned isn't enough. I've got to have some more help." And in fact, we're finding that even more dads are coming to parenting seminars because they want to be active dads, involved in the lives of their children, and they're wanting to know how to do that. So at the seminars that we're teaching, of course, you got people who are interested. That's why they're coming to a seminar. But we're finding that more and more people are willing to adjust the way they're parenting because they see that having a behavior approach isn't enough. They've got to go deeper than that. We've got some answers that we believe come from the scriptures, and when parents start putting those into practice, they see the results that come from that.
That's great. Yeah, I know I need help. I have 2 boys. I have a 5-year-old boy named Hudson and a 2.5-year-old named Hayden. And I need help. It's a humbling experience to be a dad. But I was going to say, in regards to your comment about dads are actually coming to parenting conferences, I was going to say, in regards to this statistic, that my guess is that if there's 6 out of 10 are relying on their own personal experience, my guess is that 5 out of those 6 are all men who aren't open to critique or don't want to read the material or don't want to ask for help, which is kind of sad. That's how us guys tend to be. But the other side of it is that when you do start going and looking for material that's out there, there's not a lot of good stuff, and that's why I've been really blessed by your material and the books that you've written. They're really practical. They're not fluffy. They don't have a lot of excess. They're really right to the point and really practical. So that's been a real blessing.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I do read a lot of other parenting books, and there is some good stuff out there, but I am grateful. I'm grateful for the fan that you are of the stuff that we've written.
Well,
That's fine.
I guess I have the inside track, and I know a little bit more of the context as well when I'm reading it. And but what's been interesting too about reading your books is that there's stuff in those books that you've written that it seems like they're new revelations, new things that you've come up with after I've moved out of the home. A lot of the same core principles, but it just seems like God's given you more and more wisdom as the years have gone on.
Well, and I think that's true for anybody. I think that we grow in our parenting as our kids get older. But the reality is, even parents who are starting over with young children again, their grandparents raising their children or a blended family, and all of a sudden these new kids come into the home, it's not like they can take all the things they've learned with the older ones and instantly apply them to the younger ones. Every child is different. And so we've always got to be growing and learning in order to make this thing work.
Yeah, and I'm sure parents are going to be blessed as they're able to hear this and glean from it. There is a lot of wisdom to be gained. We're going to look into the news a little bit, and there's been a couple really major stories related to kids and parenting this last week. One of the big stories was that Bill Gates won't let his kids have an iPod because he's a Windows user. Actually, no, that's not really a big story. There are some there. It's funny when you go on the news and you look at some of the stories related to family. They're having to come up with stuff that's really not that crucial, because I think everybody comes from a home where kids are dealing with the same thing, where they're whining or they're complaining or they're throwing tantrums, and they're all come from this common background of having a sin nature, and so the media feels like it's got to produce new stories. One interesting story, on a serious note, was this story related to families with a kid diagnosed with ADHD. And there was at least 20 different articles related to this over this last week. These articles were all based off of this one study done by a psychologist named Brian Wims and William Pelham, and it was published last year in the Journal of Consulting and Clinical Psychology. And the gist of it was that couples who have children with attention deficit hyperactive disorder are nearly twice as likely to divorce or separate as couples who do not have children with psychiatric disorder, according to a definitive new study that is the first to explicitly explore this question. I'm reading from a Newsday article. And these are the specific statistics that 12.6% of parents of children with ADHD or without ADHD were divorced by the time the children were 8 years old. But then 22.7% of parents with kids with ADHD were divorced by the time that their kids were of the age of 8. And it goes on, it says couples with ADHD kids also tend to reach the point of divorce or separation faster. This the point of this article and what why this was a big news story is it's basically saying that ADHD, this whole concept of hyperactivity in a child, is really having some harmful effects on families and on marriages. And I know that this is a hot topic. It's not a topic for every parent, but there are a number of kids who've been diagnosed with ADHD, and I know that you work with a number of those parents. You've written and spoken on this topic, and if I remember right, I was even diagnosed with ADHD or ADD growing up, and so it kind of hits home. What do you know, and how do you know the difference between a kid that has ADHD, and what are some of the clinical signs that, how's this whole thing being diagnosed?
Well, that's a good question because there's no blood test that you can take or something objective like that. Although there are behavior analysis that we do of children, much of it through the reports of the parents in order to diagnose these children. Some people would say that there's no such thing as ADHD, it's just bad parenting. And that's really sad because I work with these children, and when they walk in the door, you can tell that something's different about them. Last week, I was doing a parenting seminar, and when I do, I have kids come up on the stage, and I had 8 or 9 kids on the stage, and then comes in this little boy. We'll call him Derek. Just the way he entered the auditorium, you could tell that he ran right over to his mother, and then he bounced up on the stage, and right away started talking out. And I just said, Derek, why don't you come over and sit right next to me so that I could put my hand on him while I was trying to accomplish what I wanted to do with these kids. But it was obvious. Just by looking at Derek and watching him interact, that he had these symptoms of just continual movement. A lot of these children lack the social awareness skills, so they're not aware of the cues that allow them to take their turn or wait till the appropriate moment. They interrupt other people. They're socially awkward. Now, not all children have the same symptoms, and we're talking about children now, in your question, who have the hyperactivity component. But the ADD is a inability to focus or to attend and continually interrupted in your own mind. So many of these children, what's going on inside their brain is a neurological challenge because the chemical transmissions of some of the neurons in the brain are not firing as quickly as they need to, and so they can't concentrate. They can't focus on what's going on. So consequently, these children are magnets for correction. They're dealing with doing the wrong thing all the time, and it becomes a significant parenting issue for these kids and for their parents. So it's no wonder you have the statistics that you're quoting, because what we're saying is that there's a lot of stress on a family where you have a child with some kind of neurological spectrum disorder, and that's whether it's we're dealing with autism or bipolar or Asperger's or attention deficit disorder. It all fits under this larger umbrella of neurological issues. We need to have a plan for dealing with those. I do work with a lot of those parents and those children. And in fact, the parenting seminar that Joanne and I are teaching now, the whole third session of the parenting seminar is focused on helping children who want to do what's right, but for some reason they can't do what's right because of biological issues like attention deficit disorder. So we're focusing on that and helping parents with solutions to make that work.
Do you have any statistics of how many families does that affect? So if you have a normal crowd of, like, say, 100 families, which is a lot of families, how many families would say, yep, that's me. I have that. I have a kid like that or falls under that category.
I don't know. You see, the reason I say that is because there is a process of classifying these children, going through medical professionals and getting a classification that says this child is diagnosed with this particular disorder. But it's really on a scale. So there are some parents who come and they'll say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, my child might not be like Derek bouncing in here, but there's some days he's like a 10. Other days he's more like a 3 or a 4. So I don't know the answer to your question. I do know that the solutions that we've developed to work with these kids, though, help children at any point on the scale. Sometimes parents say, should I get my child classified? Well, there are some benefits because you get some perks when it comes to the school system. You get special treatment with special education and so on. When it comes to just deciding whether you need that, we don't necessarily feel like classification is necessary. If you got problems in that area, the solutions that we offer work. No matter where you are on that spectrum, let's start putting them into practice and watch some growth take place in a child's heart and life.
Yeah, I really appreciate that because, you know, it's I appreciate parents who are trying to key in and are looking for solutions because coming from a Bible college perspective and working with college students, we get kids who have been diagnosed with all kinds of things, but are not really they haven't been given solutions. So they'll come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I can't do my homework at all because, you know, I've been diagnosed ADD or ADHD, but they don't have any, they have no plan. And they basically, you know, opted out of life or certain components of life and are not really hopeful in growing in particular areas of their life. And so as a director and as a teacher, I'll listen and I have compassion and I want to work with them, but I'm asking them at the same time that they work with me and that they try to take some steps forward and that they would understand that they're not stuck in a position where, you know, I'm stuck as a dyslexic or I'm stuck with ADD and so I can't read at all. I know it's harder because it was harder for me. I'm still a very slow reader and have to have a completely quiet atmosphere to be able to study, but I know it's possible. And so you working with parents and giving them solutions and recognizing that this is something that's on a scale and then you're tailoring your solutions towards, you know, that one end of the scale is really, really good. What are some
we
of
find
the,
it's really,
yeah, go ahead.
We find it's really important for parents to provide hope for these children because that's really what they need. These children have given up in many cases. They use ADD as an excuse. And what you're saying is exactly true. The Bible has a prescription for hope, and it's in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Hope comes from character, it says. Character comes from perseverance, and perseverance comes from suffering. So the verse says that suffering produces perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. Now, what that does, it provides a formula, I think, for us as parents. There may be other therapies that are used. Medication is just one of those, but our focus is on the raising the character threshold in a child's life. That's what we're trying to do here. So raising the character threshold is going to provide the hope that's needed, but notice where it starts. It starts with suffering. We believe that although parents, we don't want to be mean to their kids, it's the parents that are going to set up structures for these kids that make it hard for them in some respects, but show them the path that they need to take. Here's the path that you need to follow, and we're going to do practice sessions in order to make it work. I say to these parents, here's the reality. Your kids need therapy. Now, you're the best therapist for your kids if you have a plan. But the plan is the key. You need to develop a plan. What do you want this child to do in order to develop self-control or attentiveness or sensitivity to others or whatever it might be? What's the plan you want to develop? And then you start working that plan by increasing the pressure a little bit in order to see these children develop the character they need. And the character threshold, when it increases, children are more able to cope with the challenges that they have in life.
Yeah, that's really good. What are some of the, as parents are coming to you and they're saying, look, I have a kid that's ADD, what are their greatest concerns? What are some of the things that they're, you know, on a daily basis saying, help me in this particular area? What is an ADHD kid doing in a home that's really disruptive?
Well, parents in many cases are just at their wit's end. They're angry. They're yelling at their kids a lot. They've lost hope in their working with their children as well. So it's tough on parents to have a child who's struggling in this area because these children don't typically follow instructions because they easily get distracted. These children can't stay on a task and get it done. They leave a trail of messes along the way. They often have a difficult time being corrected without getting angry. Many of these children experience a high level of anger because they're just frustrated with life. It's not working, and so they'll respond with anger to when corrected. All of those things make it very difficult to parent them. What we're trying to do is give parents very simple strategies. We got to break it down for these kids. They've got to see it, here's one, two, three. This is what we're going to do in order to make this work. We like to use the example of a child who has autism. If you had a child with autism, you would be highly involved in structuring their life and developing strategies for them to cope in the normal working environment of life. Now, we're trying to do that with our children who have attention deficit disorder, and we're going to set up a specific plan using practice sessions. Therapy means practice sessions every day, several times a day, in order to develop these new patterns in a child so they know how to follow instructions, for example. We develop an instruction routine that has five steps, and the child's going to go through that every day, several times a day, working on that in order to develop the cooperation skills that they need. So that's what we're in the business of working on, it on that level, raising the character level, and we do that through a lot of practice sessions, a lot of prayer, a lot of visioning for the kids in order to make it happen.
Great. So if people want to get more information about this particular subject, where would you send them? Do you have any resources on the web or anything that you published specifically yourself?
Yes. On our website, biblicalparenting.org, there's a particular box of resources called the Heartwork Training Manuals and CDs. We developed that material in particular with children with these kind of special needs in mind. Now, it can be applied to any children, but we know that children with attention deficit disorder need this box of materials. It's showing parents a five-step instruction routine. It's showing them how to use consequences with children. It's showing them how to end every discipline time with a positive conclusion. It's helping children understand how to accept no as an answer. It's showing you how to emotionally connect with your kids. All of that is in this one box of resources called the Heartwork Training Manuals and CDs. The CDs are Joanne and I teaching on a CD, and then the manual is a 36-page workbook that you go through, look up biblical passages, identify some strategies, and you then start working it with your child.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so people
can get that. In fact, let me tell you one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing here, because let me just say that people who go onto our website and are looking for that particular product, they can get $10 off by entering this particular code. It's the word mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R. And by entering that, they'll get $10 off that box of resources as they're trying to order that on our website.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay, so that's mentor. Great. Well, that's where we're going to have to leave it for this week. Again, that's www.biblicalparenting.org. If you're interested in parenting resources for working with a kid with ADHD, we would like to, in the future, on one of these podcasts, answer questions. So if you have a question that you would like to ask, you can get a hold of the National Center of Biblical Parenting, where my dad works, through their website. I'm sure they have a contact us page, and they can send you can send an email. If you send an email with a question, could you just put in the subject line podcast question, so that we know that you intend it to be answered on the air. And if you have any other questions regarding parenting or interested in following up with Scott Taranski, I'm sure that you can find him on his website. We want to thank you for listening. Have a blessed week, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you, Josh.